This is Jay Nemro, quasi-indefatigable gentleman. You're listening to, you know, this really isn't a podcast. The podcast title was made to make people think that all they could do is use their iPod. This is an MP3 file. Maybe I should start using that, because you can use it in any MP3 player you want. Don't believe the marketing. Don't believe the marketing for a minute. This is an MP3 file. Your computer can play it. Almost anything can play it. You can put it on one of those little USB flash drives, and then plug it into some players, and it'll play. There it is. Well, what can you do? People, you know, marketers swear up and down that you can only listen to podcasts on certain things. And that's how iPods sell so good, because people live in the fear that they'll buy a piece of junk and it won't work. And you know what? At 3/4 of the time, the piece of junk does work, because they want to make money too. Anyway, this is your MP3 file. I'm not going to call it a podcast anymore. I'm going to try to walk away from calling you guys cows very often. You guys are the mindlessly led. I can't even say you're led. Led implies something like you have a leader. There's two ways you can go through life. You can either be led, or you can be driven. And to a degree, I think everybody employs a little bit of both. I try to be more of a leader than a driver. I don't like driving people to anything, because I'm not that kind of a person. That's the way it is. I'm talking about, my circumstances, that I just get upset because I don't have the freedom that I wish I had. I don't have the ability to do what I want to do without having to be considerate of everybody else. And most of the time, everybody else will say, no, Jay, we don't want you to do that because it will make our ultimate pursuit of happiness less pleasant. I really would like to get away and have people just kind of leave me alone. Or, basically, just be far enough away that people don't care what I'm doing. You know, they say, well, he's got land, and he's doing things that are illegal. And he goes, no, I don't. How would you know, number one, is that part of your fun, is to fly over my house with the binoculars and see what kind of emissions I'm putting out that you can complain to me about? Is that how the system works? One of my big goals in life is to reduce as many bills as I get as possible. Someday I would like to live a life where I don't have bills. There's no loans I need to take out. There's no loans I need to pay back. There's no electric bill I need to pay for. There's no water bill I need to pay for. Because water is just the silliest thing on the face of the earth. Why on earth does anybody pay for water? I know you're supposed to technically pay for the transmission of water to you. And it's an amazing thing. 200 years ago, that didn't exist. You had a well. You sunk that well. If there was no water within a decent amount of feet from the surface where you could get at it, that was worthless land. It belonged to nobody. So you just didn't do that. And water was never a concern. You either had it or you didn't. Sometimes your well dried up, but you dig down a little bit further and there was the water again. We've gotten into this whole thing to where now water is a commodity. It has a set price. And it depends on where you are, where it is, how difficult it is to get it to you. It comes to you through a pipe. You pay for the privilege of getting that water to you in a convenient way, so that it comes out of your sink it goes into your bathtub. So that it's almost totally impossible for you to provide this for yourself. In fact, it almost borders on illegal if you were to try to do your water a different way. Somebody would come and tell you that what you're doing is either illegal or it's not according to code, and they would fine you, they would punish you somehow to make you stop behaving like that. Funny, huh? That's just kind of the way it is. What do you do? And, you know. Honestly, that's just the way life is now. That's just reality. So if you get far enough away from people, they won't know what you're doing. And, by and large, they really don't care. If it doesn't smell bad, if it doesn't make their life troublesome, if it doesn't provide them with some sort of inconvenience, they pretty much don't notice. And they won't do anything about it. Because that's where most laws come from. Laws don't come from a commonly agreed upon a public standard of anything. I know people always talk about that's where laws come from. But they really don't. They never did. Laws come from a few people who complained and gritched and moaned to the point to where they got enough people to say, you know what, we'll make this law if you just leave us alone. Or, you know, or they find a whole bunch of people who feel the same way as they do, and they come together and they push it through. That's called majority rules. You know, and it's not a solid majority. People always say, oh, well, the thing's going to be this way because the majority of people are white, so we're going to have things that white people like. And that's a bunch of, you know, to a degree, that's kind of dumb. That's kind of being racially motivated, which is really stupid. There's plenty of black people, Hispanic people, that have the same concerns as white people on many things. Especially when those people tend to have things in common with white people. I'm a homeowner now, so there's a lot of things I want to be put into law to keep renters from being disgusting on my street. I want a nice-looking street, so we're going to make it so that renters have to keep their houses looking really nice. Because they need to look like the kind of homeowners have, which are usually better. You know, we don't tend to stack up a bunch of crap in front of our houses, or whatever. I tend to keep a messier outside of my house than a lot of people like. I tend to keep it bare just for the simple reason that I don't want people yelling at me about my house. I swear the other neighbor, the one that doesn't have the dog that has terrorized my kids, the other neighbor, he put up a fence. And I swear the number one reason why he put up a fence is because one day when I was mowing my lawn, he had wanted to put up some trees to kind of put some separation between my fence, my lawn, and his lawn. He has spent a lot of money, and he's put in a sprinkler system to sprinkle his lawn. He put a lot of time and effort into getting a beautiful grass lawn in the front of his house. Well, I think he was upset. See, and I don't know, I'm making this up because I didn't ever really talk to the guy, because you don't talk about these things. You know, people don't ever talk about what makes them really mad, they just act on what makes them mad. We all have to try to figure out why exactly they're angry at us. Anyway, so, what's a good way to say it? Those guys, I guess, had planted some trees, hoping to put a screen between me and him so that people would know that that his lawn was good and it was my yard that was crap. Because I really don't care. I don't put a lot of effort into my lawn. I'm a guy that's stingy. I'm stingy. I don't like the water. And the only thing I'll put into my yard is pulling up weeds I don't like. Other weeds can just go. I don't care. I don't know if that creates problems between me and my wife, because I'm sure she would love to have a picture-perfect lawn. But I'm not doing it, and she's not willing to put forth the effort. So it doesn't happen. Of course, she's really busy anyway. All right. So he put up these trees. I was mowing my yard. They were about 2 inches tall. Well, they might have been three. And they were brown sticks. They were dead, as far as I'm aware. But that's okay. I didn't notice them. I figured they were just weeds like everything else. So I mowed over them, you know. You tend to want to mow over that junction between your house and somebody else's house so that it doesn't look bad. Because I think it's tacky. I think it is the height of being kind of just a nasty person to put like tape down the middle of a room. This is your side of the room, this is my side of the room. You know, people, I think, ultimately have to kind of come to an agreement that it's somewhat shared space. There's some that is by fiat kind of definitely yours, but then there's this buffer zone between where we just kind of take care of things. The neighbor on the other side and I kind of do that. There's this strip of ground that's, you know, half his, half mine, I think. And he mows it, I mow it. I pull weeds up on his side. I think he does some stuff on my side. And there it is. What can you possibly say? And that's kind of the way it is. And I always thought that was kind of the hallmark of being a neighbor, was doing things beyond just, I've drawn a line between your stuff and my stuff, and your stuff will never come over on my stuff. Anyway, that neighbor got really angry, came over and just, he didn't chew me, I chewed out my wife. I don't know what kind of a person he is. I have only talked to him a few times, and usually I'm really conciliatory and just let him do what he wants, because I really want to have some peace and harmony. Unfortunately, at some point, it's going to get to the point where he's going to say, I don't like what you're doing in your backyard, and I'm going to have to get irate and just get angry at the guy and say, you know what, I let you do what you wanted to on your side of my fence. I never put up a fuss. I think he swears up and down, because at some point the city came by and got it mad at him. I think they might have, he didn't have a building permit. In New Mexico, you have to have a building permit to blow your nose, because there's only a few small little things that you can do on the outside of your home, or on the inside, frankly, that don't require a building permit, and they actually spell those out. They say everything else you have to have a building permit for. I don't understand this kind of draconian type of totalitarian feeling they have. I know it has a lot to do with contractors, and contractors have a lot of clout. You know, they have a lot of money, many of them. And this really keeps them in money, is making it so that it's almost impossible for you to do anything by yourself without involving a contractor. So they kind of run the world, at least in New Mexico. You can hardly breathe without having a contractor come and straighten you out. Tell you it's going to have to be this way. Ugh, so you've got all that situation. Anyway, someday that's going to happen to me, and what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway. I'm sorry. I kind of laugh at people get pulled over. It's not that I get a big thrill out of watching people get pulled over, but it was one of those truckers that was being rude to me, crawling up my tailpipe and honking his horn at me because he didn't think I was driving at a speed that made him happy, and that he wasn't able just to immediately get around me, and that made him even madder. And I wasn't even playing the game with him and slowing down and making and trying to get him to get out from behind him. Anyway, he got pulled over by a cop, and he's getting lectured by somebody. So I'm sorry, I'm taking a little bit of pleasure from the fact that he got hit up because he wanted to go fast, and I wasn't willing to go fast, and I can just go by. Alright, oy vey, what a day. Anyway, he started putting up this fence, but he had never gotten a building permit to do that. And, you know, I wasn't getting involved. I didn't really care. He asked me once, is it okay if I put up a fence? I said, yeah. I don't care. As long as it's on your side of the property, just don't put it on my side of the property. I don't want any of my land given up to you because you decided to put a fence on my side. He said, oh. He said, no. I'll put it on my side. I said, that's great. I don't care. Makes me happy. Our fence was really falling apart. My fence is still falling apart, and I haven't done a thing about it because I have no money. I have no spare money just to go and put up a new fence. You have to do it out of dirt because that's all I got left in my name is a bunch of dirt. I'm going to live in a sinkhole soon because I will have mined my property for the only thing it has, dirt. Well, caliche, which is jumbo mud. It's almost worthless. And you can't grow a thing in it. Anyway, I tried. I should know. Anyway, so he started putting up his fence, you know, and the only time he would come over is to ask me if he could tear up something on my side so that he could have it. Or so he could put up his fence. And I frankly didn't really care. He kept his dog chained up so the dog wouldn't come after my kids, because my kids are definitely afraid of dogs. And you know what? I don't feel inclined to try to put my dog. My wife is definitely afraid of dogs. She hates dogs. She doesn't like at least the kind of dogs all my neighbors have. They all have German Shepherd police dogs. I swear. They've all got this, you know. Well, you know, you have to understand, they're all hunters. They're all the type of guys, you know, these are rough and tumble. I'm a He-Man man. I go out to hunt and I have dogs that are frightening because I want them for protection, to protect my whatever. And I'm not that kind of a guy. And my wife certainly has no interest in that kind of stuff. So you realize my dilemma, I'm kind of caught in a hard place. Because my wife really likes the city. She feels safer in the city than she does out in the middle of nowhere because she would be afraid of wild animals attacking her out of town, which you don't have. I mean, there's dogs that prowl around and attack people. But I think it's just that unknown of being in a place where it's unknown that really kind of frightens her. And so, you know what? I'm never going to get what I really want. I'm always going to be somewhat trapped in a situation that makes me unhappy. And it's because I really have dedicated a good portion of my life to trying to make my wife happy. I think it's one of the most important things. I derive a lot of joy from it, and that joy has to make up for the fact that there's a lot of things I'd like to do, but I just simply can't because I don't think my wife would tolerate it. At least not for very long. She would be unhappy. And I can't make her that way. It's just beyond what I'm willing to do. My life is to make her happy. So, there it is. A lot of women say, oh, I'd love to be married to Jay. And you go, oh, being married to Jay can be so... She is an angel. She is wonderful. Because she puts up with me. Because I do. I mean, I just get so frustrated. And there's something, I just want to break away and get away, but I can't. Because I'm locked in this life, because this life makes my wife feel more comfortable. Someday I'd like to get her into a situation where it's a little bit more like I would want it. Every place we've lived, every house that I've ever been in has been a reaction to my wife. Whether she's happy, whether she's sad, things like that. I know she's not happy with our present situation. Not because she doesn't have a nice house. It's pretty good. It's because we really just don't have the resources to keep it up to that standard. She has a standard that if you can afford to buy a house that's nice, or should be nice, you by nature have enough money to be able to keep it up and and make it wonderful and make it look beautiful. And we don't. We had barely enough money to buy it, to hang on to it during my best years, best income years so far. And, well, now we've got this house. And we really don't have the money to do anything with it. The carpets are threadbare. And I know that really upset her. And I know that most of the blame is mine. I need to make more money to get her what she wants. But I think she understands that she wants me around more. The place where we live, there isn't a lot of high-paying jobs. I've got probably one of the most high-paying jobs she can have in my area. I actually made the job happen in my area. It was going to be somewhere else, and they hired me, and I said, I want to live here. And they said, oh, okay. And there it is. That's how it works. Anyway. This is the way relationships can be. I would say in most normal circumstances, given people and how they tend to be these days, my wife and I wouldn't have survived this long, because we would have said, oh no, we're incompatible. You want something that I'm not really interested in, so I'm going to get a divorce from you, and we're going to go off, and we're going to live happy lives, and we're going to split kids, and life's going to really suck for them, but we're going to be so much happier because you'll be able to live in town where you want to be, and I'll live out in a grass hut out in the middle of nowhere like I want to, and everything will go better. You go, no, it won't. This is the kind of stuff where we have give and take, where we try to take care of each other. I'm caught. I'm caught in a bad situation, and I lash out against probably what makes my life the most miserable, which is society, culture. The people that trained my wife to be the way she is. It upsets me. We could be so much happier if in some way she could change. But you have to understand, it's so ingrained. It's a part of everything she's ever believed, everything she ever came from. And it's like that for so many people. So many people are the same thing. They're almost stuck. But part of our training, part of that thing, is to make it so that we just accept these things as facts. We don't ever think there could be any other way. That's not a good idea. You don't tell people that there could be another possibility. My problem is I know that there is other possibilities. But I'm trapped in the one I'm in. You can say, Jay, you poor fool, you married the wrong person. You know I did. Maybe someday I'll talk about that. Oh, time's nearly up. Guy, what am I doing here? I'm bearing my freaking soul to anybody who has a MP3 player. Yikes. You folks are great. Hang in there. You know, there's a really good reason why you just kind of go with the flow. It's just easier. Trust me, not going with the flow, buying the current, is hard. And usually, it's futile. or it looks that way. I don't know if I'll ever be able to stop fighting the current. But, you know, I'm sure you heard in this podcast regarding this MP3 file my frustration. Just utter frustration with everything. With the fact that I can't do what I want to do because culture just doesn't think that my way is valid. There shouldn't be. There's marketers out there that don't want me to behave like this because then I won't have to buy their stuff. They want me to buy their stuff. So the culture is the way they want it, not the way I want it. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith, QUIX.US on the internet. Anyway, well, I'll talk about that later. Time's up. Oh, it's overtime. Have fun. Have a nice day. Bye. out that one now.